All right, welcome to the number 10, double digits, in our Weird for Good hangout together. And I'm welcoming you back today to join us for another great discussion. And I want to once again welcome Michael Wright with the blog called fatherofone.com. Michael, glad to have you back again this week.
Yeah, my pleasure as always. Always good to be here.
Awesome. Glad to have you, sir. And we're going to jump into our topic this week, which was a writing I posted last Thursday, or last Friday, excuse me, about bringing down the house, literally, is the name of the post. And really, we start out with a story of a remodel project. And I think most of us have either done some remodeling or been around it, and really, that's just a way to frame and put into context a bigger story, but a remodeling project that my mom happens to be doing with her kitchen sparked this idea in me to write about an overall life remodeling project. And so, Michael, can you kind of give us a little bit of an idea what you think a remodeling project looks like? Or
No, I usually pay someone to do that stuff. So, but I did have we did have a couple of bathrooms, Aaron, and that we renovated, put a new floor, a new vanity, because we've been in our home about 10 years, and they put the cheapest stuff possible. You know, so I'm on a budget, right? So I'm going to do this all by myself, even though I had no experience doing any of it whatsoever. So I admire people that are in that trade that can do that. But, the details got a little messy. You know, I got things I'm trying to, you know, look on YouTube on how to lay this certain flooring or how to caulk a vanity properly. And it got kind of ugly and, you know. And what happened, I ended up getting to a point, Aaron, I ended up actually calling someone from church and paying him to come finish it. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
I did as much as I could, and then there was a certain part, the baseboard, and I didn't have the right saw, and I didn't want to spend $100 on the saw, and you know, I just fessed up and said, look, I'd rather just let a professional finish this out. I did do 80% of it, but yeah, so it was messy to the point I had to call for help.
that's a great example, and I think that's something a lot of people can relate to, is, you know, the kind of home bathroom project, remodeling project, and you're right, it's like, even if we are not experts at it, it seems like a doable thing, and we want to improve the look, or we want to upgrade something, and so that's something that's within all of us, that we want to see things, we want to do what we can to improve the world around us, whether that is in our homes or in our job or, you know, in relationships. There's something in us that drives us to want improvement. And that's kind of where the story begins this week. And as you said, you know, it's a thing that you can dive into. And what's the first step whenever we want improvement in a remodeling project? You know, it looks a certain way, you want it to look a new way. Well, destruction, demolition, get a big hammer out and swing at something, you know. Maybe you do it a little cleaner than that, depending on what the project is, but most of the time you have to rip something out and make a big mess before you can start putting it back together to make it pretty.
Yeah, that part's the fun part to me. I don't know if that relates to your blog post exactly, but sometimes tearing down, abandoning ship, whatever you're doing, that's kind of the easy part and the fun part. But then you gotta, when you start rebuilding, not too fun. I mean, whether it's building muscle or putting in a new bathroom, that part's like, you know.
Yeah, you know, when you have to do a little more planning and measuring of things, when you have to do the buying of stuff, when you're putting something back together, that's typically where it takes more skill and it's more precise project, and you want it to look right, because that's what you're going for, is this overall new improved look. But, you know, to tie this back in for the viewers who haven't read the post, it is, you know, using the idea of a house remodeling project, I related it to my own life remodeling project that's been going on for about, you know, 4 years or so. And it also relates to something that has been coined as the hero's journey, which is just kind of a cycle that you can see in various stories throughout history, whether it's in literature or books or movies, things like that. A hero's journey begins just like a remodeling project does, where there's a separation, there's a destruction, there's something that takes the character away from where they were or tears things down in their world around them. You know, that's how the hero's journey usually starts. And that's how our life remodeling projects can start as well. So, you know, we can plug ourselves into this template of the hero's journey and just think of it like a house remodeling project. You know, what is it that we want to improve on? For me, it was a career change, but it went much deeper than that. It went all the way down to where I kind of started saying I want to remodel my kitchen, you know, as a career change. But I kept digging and kept finding more things that were rotten and more things that needed replaced. And so I ended up tearing not only the house down of my life itself, but tearing down, you know, tearing out the foundation and going deeper and deeper until finally, as I explained in the blog, I got down to bedrock, you know. And that was kind of finding that once you really kind of hit rock bottom in your own journey, you find something that's finally solid there. And for me, it was a spiritual connection with God, and that really turned everything around for me and gave me a new foundation to build back upon. And that's where I'm at now in my remodeling project journey. So I don't recommend most people go through as many changes as I have personally, but I want to put this out there so that people that would be watching this or people that are interested in learning more about coaching or, you know, like my blog or whatever, it's like, here's kind of what's all going on. And to catch up to speed, I am partway through this remodeling project. And Michael posted, and I appreciate that as a comment, to say, you know, that when you tear things down, and, well, I'll let you tell it, Michael. You kind of explained that we can end up stronger from this process.
Yeah, I've never broke a bone, but I've always heard, and I've heard doctors say this, that when you break a bone and you put it back together and you have your cast on, that it actually grows back where it broke. It grows back stronger than before, which is pretty amazing, you know. So I kind of related that to what you're talking about, that you've kind of gone down to the depths. You've gotten down to the rock bottom, and you're coming back up. You're rising up, and, you know, your wings, you're flying back up. Your wings are stronger. You're gaining momentum. And, that's what I was trying to say in that comment, Aaron, is just that, you know, it is the tough times, the trials, the rebuilding that does make us stronger. Indeed, it does. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely uncomfortable, and that's what I wanted to make very clear, is that there's an ugliness to all this. You know, my mom is remodeling her kitchen. Well, in that process, you know, she's torn everything out, and then we've had family gatherings over there where you're using a piece of plywood as the counter, you know, to set Christmas dinner on. And so in our innate drive to make improvements, we are intelligent enough and we care enough to see beyond the initial ugliness of something, to drive towards something more more desirable in the future. And so we're willing to put up with this sort of bad times in between. And that's where it is hard for the people around us to see that if I'm going through bad times or ugly times or painful times, that I may be going towards something higher in my future. And the same thing for the people around us. You know, can we have compassion for where someone's at in their journey that may not be as pretty as we'd like to see for them, but but they are in a process of rebuilding themselves, and I think that's something I want to point out here, is that this ugliness and this painfulness is it's not permanent, and you work through it, but as you said, it's part of the process that makes us stronger. So if someone's out there going through an ugly time, going through a hard time in their life right now, I hope they can see that for what it can be there as well.
And really, it's someone I read somewhere this week, I've always heard it, it's kind of like pick your pain, you know. So, okay, the mess of rebuilding is painful, but also not rebuilding, just choosing to stay the same, that can be painful too. In the long run, it's almost like if I decide that I'm just going to eat, now we were talking earlier, if I just go to the Sonic drive-thru and get a chili cheese dog and I have the Hershey ice cream, whatever the thing they call it, every night for supper, and I just decide, no, I don't want to go through the hard work of eating broccoli and fish for supper instead, even though that's not bad, then I may not be rebuilding now, but I'm going to have to pay later for that, for all those chili cheese dogs and ice cream. It just doesn't work. So it's almost like either rebuild yourself with your own concerted effort, or just have yourself just fall apart because you decided not to rebuild, not to make that change. I don't mean that it sounds so dramatic, but I mean, I just think that if your life or something, you see something that you want and something's not working in your life, then that's a prime opportunity to say what needs to be torn down here and rebuilt, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right on, Michael. I think we could just observe that the gears of time, or the gears of the universe, or you know, whatever it is, are turning and are pushing us forward. And the question is, would we be better, would it be easier in the long run to learn to handle these changes and to take them on intentionally, maybe even to push ahead a little bit in the changing and evolving and transformational part of our lives, than it would be to try to hang on while those gears are pushing us forward, you know, and we're trying to hang on and hold ourselves in place and hold ourselves in sort of a stagnant position, where that's just not the way it seems to work overall. Like you said, a health problem, we could take care of it in small bites today and do some exercise and eat a little better today, or we could put it off forever and then maybe have a big medical event down the road or something of that nature. You know, it seems to be that it's going to come one way or the other, and do we want to take it on and be in action and intention about it, or do we want to sort of be in denial and then have it really rock our worlds down the road? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting from what you're saying there. So
that's it.
Well, you know, we talked about the hero's journey. Something else that I put in here in the writing was about critics and about feeling criticized or hearing that someone's making a criticism of you. And I don't know if almost any time someone steps out of their comfort zone and you start looking different to the people around you than you have before, where they were comfortable, they knew kind of the context of who you were and what you were about. And if you go to change that, this is really uncomfortable for people around you sometimes. And I have done this to the nth degree personally. And so I have received these conversations of criticism or through the grapevine type things. And so I want to shed some light on that as well this week, that the critic and the criticism, you know, can be a useful tool to help push us forward even more, to say, okay, that's going to keep me focused and driven and want to, you know, maybe even fuel to my fire type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Michael, I know that you've said even in our hangouts that you don't want to be seen as a guy who, you know, didn't try new things. And so if you've tried new things, I'm sure you've felt some of these critical conversations or discussions, you know, around stuff you've tried to do as well.
Well, I'm not, I have to admit, I'm not the most adventurous person out there. You know, I'm a settled married guy with a kid. And so I can't say I've done too many crazy things, but I have done some things that my, my father had not, in college, my father did not agree with. And to the point, it had a lot of contention between us. But yet it was something I felt very strongly about religiously, and I was doing, and I it turned out he was right and I was wrong, but it was something I felt strongly about, and I learned a lot in the process. So that's one of the few times I kind of went against my dad growing up, as far as things that he advised me to do, and to me that was a big deal, because there was such a he was such an authoritative figure in our family, you know, and the head of the household. So yeah, that was one time that I had to kind of get torn down on my own and rebuilt. Realizing that there he was kind of criticizing, having other people criticizing kind of my beliefs at the time. And, you know, it was tough. It was tough because I was convinced I was right. And, you know, that they were not right. And that's probably one of the bigger things that I'm thinking of right now, as far as the criticism or, yeah.
Yeah, so I can really hear you on that. And it's like, why would, you know, if you didn't think something was right, why would you put yourself into whatever it was that was going on then? And yeah, I really relate with that. It's just like, if I didn't think the things that I were doing now were right for me in this point in my life, then I wouldn't be doing them. You know, I actually have a very low tolerance for doing things that I don't like to do or that don't suit me very well. So, you know, if I didn't think that there was positives in here, even though it has aggravated others or others can't see the big picture that I feel like I can see. As you said, you know, this is part of our journey. This is part of our hero's journey, and it's something that we have to go through in order to grow as a person. And actually avoiding these pains and trying to stay comfortable forever doesn't keep us in a physically capable place to handle when life throws us, you know, a curveball or something that we didn't choose for ourselves. So I think these sort of things, these remodeling projects that we can take on, whether it's big or small, you know, they really help us just build these muscles. And then when life throws something at us we didn't expect, then we're much more capable to handle it. So,
yeah, I particularly like the video you had on your post, because I'm right now, Aaron, I'm at the place where I feel like I need to be torn down again. I need to kind of remodel certain things, and I'm just not sure. I don't really have a clear. I kind of have a little inklings of things that I think I want to make priority in my life right now, and some of that I'm doing, you know, but I want to. Mentoring young guys and doing things, but I feel like there's something more there, because when I'm around that environment, it's just something comes alive in me, the hearts of men in particular, trying to help them break any kind of like religious barriers that they might have been taught But basically, I'm in that process now. I don't mean to go into all that, but it's basically, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tear down. I don't know what. So I'm continually trying to ask those questions. And in that video, there was this Joseph Campbell said something about follow your bliss. And I always thought, follow your bliss, that sounds kind of selfish. But they actually, the video was good. It explained. I didn't know that came from him, actually. And they explain your bliss is whatever it is in your life that makes you come alive or makes you things you're good at or things that you end up ultimately helping others out of that. It's kind of like your what I would call calling, you know, your calling, not your job, not your occupation, but more or less what is the effect of your life. And so this was a timely post for me, actually. I really enjoyed that and the video, the writing together, because it does that hero's journey. I don't know if you, I don't think you put it in your post, but they had a little circle they showed in the video where you do the you have to leave separation, and then you got your initiation period, and it comes back around to you rejoin your people of that you were around, or your, let's say you were in a village, and you come back to your village after your initiation period, and you come back and you share what you learned. And I think that's what you do as a coach. You're sharing all that stuff. You say you're in the initiation period. I would say you say you're still rebuilding. So I would kind of equate that to that initiation period. So you're kind of like coming around, and but at the same time you're via this, via your blog, via your personal effect on other people in your community, you're bringing what you've learned so far in the last 3 years to those people, and that makes you a hero, dude. The hero's journey. You're a hero, dude.
Well, you know, putting that name to it certainly makes it sound more appealing than your life's gonna suck for a while. And then it's going to be a little bit better than when you started. So they could
be less suckier.
Less
suckier.
Yeah. No, that's a great. You can see that's making me smile. So, I as we talked about another week here, I believe everybody's sitting on a gold mine. You know, I really do believe that everybody is in a hero's journey of some type or another, and that may be the optimist in me. But I think there's smaller ones, there's bigger ones, there's, you know, it doesn't have to be as comprehensive as what I have done coming from, you know, basically being a crazy party animal for so many years and then, you know, going to sobriety and all the stuff that I've talked about here before. But I think it's important because it doesn't matter what it is. You know, Michael, there's some stuff that we know about each other for the work we've done together, and you becoming a writer and you kind of exploring some of your passions, like when you were talking about the weekends that you spent, you know, making kids happy, doing the thing with the kids' parties and balloon animals and that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, it's like you have really taken some things that you wanted to do and you try them more than most people. And we kind of touched on that last week where we said, you know, in my next life I'll do things. In my next life I'll be the hero. In my next life I'll try these things. And you're not, that's not your story at all. Your story is you do try things and you get in and make changes. And I think those gears are always pushing you toward forward. And when you're in this moment of questioning right now, possibly, you know, it could be the next turn, and things will be clear, or the next turn, and you'll only have one choice, you know, of where to go, type of thing. Because that seems to be how it's unfolding right now, is what it looks like to me. So
yeah, I like the video. There's a guy in there that he hated his job, so he just quit and moved in back in with his mom. All he wanted to do was coach a little league team. So he started coaching a little league team. Now the guy's, I guess, a millionaire because he had some idea while he was coaching this little league team. And I don't know anything about him. I can't even remember his name, but I thought that was pretty wild. And just doing what you feel like whether money, take that out of the equation. I think that when you're doing something that is your bliss, your calling, your glory of your life, that those things will just happen. I had this thought today. I took a walk today, just to get away from the computer screen, and I kind of had this inkling that I want to start learning how to sing, and I don't know where that's coming from. I want to play my guitar and sing, and I have done some of that, not professionally at all, and I'm not a good singer in my book, or a very good guitar player, but I can sing songs and play songs. Okay, I can rhythmically do it, but I was thinking I just want to become a better singer, and so I was thinking, well, maybe I should take singing lessons, and I got to thinking, I was like, no, it's really more than that. I just want to sing. I just want to find my voice. And something Steve Chandler said is one time is he said, try to create a physical equivalent of a goal. Like, so if my goal, so I don't know. It's like maybe, so I'm going to start physically singing every day. So maybe that is something. I don't know why that is. I don't want to be on American Idol. I don't want to be up on stage. But for some reason, I feel like I need to start singing. I have no idea why.
That's awesome, you know. But, that's something that Steve, see, you're putting yourself right in the boat with him, because I know he's been public about that you know, he took singing lessons, and that's something that he wanted to do at a certain point in his life. And I think you said it best, though. You know, find your voice. And where, whatever that means as it comes out, right? Like, if you have your voice, then what can you do? You know, you can share your ideas with people. You can share yourself with people. You can entertain, or you could delight someone, you know, through using your voice. So that's what stuck out to me when you were saying, you know, you don't know what you want to do, but when you said find your voice, it's like, wow, don't we all want to find our voice, our real voice, you know, the truth within us that we know is there, but we rarely let out. Bravo, sir.
Don't be a lion among the sheep, right?
No, man. I love that part of that movie. And actually, my wife, Lindsay, wanted to comment on that line that I wrote in the blog and about the movie, too, was, you know, what if you were a little lion cub raised among the sheep? And you didn't ever know. Actually, they say tiger in the movie, but
okay,
tiger cub, you know, raised among the sheep, and in a way, we are all that too. You know, our world around us is not going to cultivate our tigerness. That's going to cultivate our sheepness. It's going to cultivate, yeah, you know, the safety, the comfort of the life of a sheep, and that's what it seems to be most popular, but. The life of a tiger is a little bit more adventurous, and that's a lot more appealing to me. So if you can call, you know, turning sober, or, you know, some of the other things I've been trying the last couple of years as a tiger's adventure, I can guarantee you there are some hairy moments in it. So.
Yeah, I think this being with the sheep signifies the safeness of trying to be safe, and I still struggle with what Jesus said, that if you want to if you want to find your life, you got to lose it. And so every day I'm trying to think, well, how can I lose my life that I may find it? You know, and he says, few find life, that most are on this huge path, walking down the road, but the way to life is a small road. It's a very tiny road, and very few people are on it. And I struggle with that. I'm like, which road am I on? Am I on the small road or the big road? And I think most of the time I'm walking down this big road with everybody else. And so like I said, I think there's some rebuilding that I need to do, you know, but I don't want to rebuild the bathroom when it's the kitchen that needs to be. I don't want to do that either. So,
Yeah, I hear you, Michael, and I think that's the great mystery of faith, and it is the great mystery of our life. If we knew all these answers, then we wouldn't have anything to talk about, right? So I'm glad we do have these questions to ponder and discuss and take action on, and I'm glad you're here with me to do that week in and week out, and so I hear you. I will be thinking that myself. You know, the way is narrow. And when I have a choice and when I have a fork in my road, do I take the narrow way or do I take the wide, easy pathway? And can I be very aware about those choices as I go along? So,
yeah, it's good to think about.
Absolutely, man. Well, I think we could probably wrap up for today. And thank you for the great discussion. Once again, Michael Wright is the author of the blog fatherofone.com. I recommend you check that out. And thanks for being with us again this week. So check me out at weirdforgood.com. Other than that, we will see you next time here at the Hangout. All right. Thanks, Michael. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
All right. Thanks.